1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting at verse 1. Now, about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to dumb idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them, and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit. And he distributes them to each one, just as he determines. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Now let's pray together. Our Father, as we turn to the word that you've preserved for us, for our good, we pray that you would teach us how to live as your Spirit-filled people who follow your King, the Lord Jesus. Father, as we consider these chapters in the coming weeks, please do good to us in our thinking and our living, that we would indeed fulfill what it means to be the body of Christ, filled with his Spirit on earth today. So help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to spend the next, I think, 5 or 6 weeks. There's a special week in February, which I'll break the secret about later in the month. We're going to go through chapters 12 to 14 of 1 Corinthians, because I think it teaches us an awful lot about what it means to be Christian people together. And that's a good way for us to kick off 2018, because we're going to spend most of it together as God's people. So 1 Corinthians 12 verses 1 to 11 today, that's page 1153. But before you have your heads down in your Bible, I want you to put your heads up and to look around at each other. And what do you see when you look around this morning? See, this is a fabulous opportunity to make lots of cheap jokes at people's expense, but I will restrain myself from doing that. What do you see when you look around this morning? Well, all sorts of people and all sorts of things, of course. But I suppose one thing would be that basically we're a group of people who are more serious about Jesus than average. Well, I hope so. We're probably, in general, more serious about Jesus than average. Now, you may be visiting this morning, or you may be exploring Jesus for yourself, and you're not quite sure about Jesus at all just at this point. But you will at least be noticing that there are quite a few people here this morning who are taking Jesus more seriously than average. That's what we see, if you like, when we look around this morning. But beyond that, what do you see? What else do you see as you look around? I wonder who are the people that stand out for you? Who are the people you notice? Do you look around and you see lots of gifted and talented people who do things so well around the life of the church? Do you look around, and we've been talking about prayer this morning, and you see those, you know, those people, those real prayers, who seem to ask boldly and confidently, even for extraordinary things? Do you see some of those as you look around? Do you see the great thinkers and readers, those who seem to understand everything and know what to say when you talk to them? Is that what you see when you look around this morning? Well, if that is what you see when you look around, and that makes you feel a little bit inadequate, then you should expect to be encouraged by these verses that we're looking at this morning. On the other hand, as you look around the church family, you might be one of those who notices all the what you might call the passengers of church life, who are slow on getting things done, and then you wonder why they're still coming. And you look around and you think, well, there's a whole load of passengers here this morning who just kind of tag along. Maybe those are the people you see. Or you see a whole bunch of prayerless people as you look around. I mean, they say the Lord's Prayer and their personal prayers, but they're not spearheading the prayer life of the church as you look around. Or you might look around and think, crumbs, these people just don't read any books. They're just so superficial in their understanding. And they certainly don't always know what to say when I talk to them. Well, if that's what you see when you look around, I'll warn you at this stage, you can expect a rebuke from the first 11 verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In short, if you're someone who looks around and wonders at how spiritual other people are, then you should be encouraged this morning. And if you're one of those who looks around and wonders at how unspiritual people may seem to be, then prepare to be rebuked gently at this stage, but Paul will stiffen the rebuke as we go through these chapters. So, as we look around this morning, the first thing that we do see is people who take Jesus seriously. See, we've all been invited this morning already to say Jesus is Lord. We said it in the Creed, didn't we, from Philippians chapter 2. We've seen each other say that. We've sung it. We've prayed it. Now, when we say that, when we say Jesus is Lord, we're making sure that we don't deny him his place. To say Jesus is Lord is to acknowledge his place in the universe and in all things. We don't deny him his place. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. That's what it means to say Jesus is Lord. The crucifixion of this Lord, his death on a cross, the crucifixion of this Lord of glory is never far away when we say Jesus is Lord. He himself said that he came to die and rise again. And so when we say Jesus is Lord, we give him his proper place. We don't deny him that. We trust him and we know that he died for us. The second other side of the coin, if you like, of saying that Jesus is Lord, if we don't deny him his place, we do deny ourselves. We're those who follow him. We follow him because we love him. We are those who obey him. Because we want to obey him, because he is Lord. And so we deny ourselves to be lords of our own lives as we follow him. Now that's just if you've been here for many weeks, that's normal Christian belief, to say Jesus is Lord. Now the alternative is to say Jesus is cursed. Now, the Bible language here of curse is important. But I put it to you that to say Jesus is cursed is the normal confession of a non-Christian. So don't have in your ideas, when you hear the phrase Jesus is cursed, don't think Hollywood horror movies and a particularly heinous evil statement about Jesus as something that's way out there and extreme. Just like saying Jesus is Lord is normal belief, to say Jesus is cursed is normal unbelief. Think about it this way. What is cursed by God in the Bible? Well, everything that is fallen. If you read the Genesis story, where mankind first rebelled against God, that's what brought God's curse on the whole of creation. Everything fallen, but in particular, the disobedience of the people God had created. That then leading to death for the people God had created. So to say that Jesus is cursed is simply to say that he belongs to that realm. He belongs to the fallen, the disobedient. He's just one like us, under the curse of a fallen world before God. To say Jesus is cursed is simply to say that Jesus is part of the problem. He's fallen, disobedient, and dead, just like the rest of us. Normal unbelief. To say Jesus is cursed is simply to say Jesus is not the answer. But to say Jesus is Lord, to give him his proper place, to say that he's not fallen and not disobedient, and yet he did die bearing someone else's disobedience, but he rose again triumphant and is in glory, to say that Jesus is Lord is to say that he is the saviour of the world. He's not part of all that is cursed. Normal belief of the Christian, normal unbelief of the non-Christian. So as you look around this morning and you see people saying Jesus is Lord, and you will know if you have been saying that from your heart in this sense, Jesus is Lord or Jesus is cursed. Is he part of the problem, just another kind of person who lived amongst us, or is he the Saviour and Lord of all? You'll know if you've been saying that when we sang it and prayed it and said it in the creed from your heart. Well, to become a Christian is simply to start saying that and to mean it. But if we see people saying that, what else is it that we are seeing? Well, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 3. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. See, Paul's talked about those who don't believe in Christ. He's mentioned them in verse 2. That when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to dumb idols, and you would have been saying Jesus is just cursed, he's part of the problem, he's not some unique saviour or anything like that. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who's speaking like that is speaking by the Spirit of God. But anyone who says Jesus is Lord does so by the Holy Spirit. So as we've sat here this morning and seen people say with seriousness that Jesus is Lord, we have seen the Spirit of God at work. Inevitably, a group of people in which God, the Holy Spirit, is working his work. The Spirit, as Paul has said in chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, reveals spiritual truths, shows us that Jesus is Lord. God himself come to us by his Spirit to help us. God himself with us, working in us. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And that's as true today, this morning, in our gathering, as when Paul wrote those words all those years ago. I wonder if you say Jesus is Lord with great confidence, with a kind of unwavering faith. That's only because of the Spirit of God working in you. I wonder if you say Jesus is Lord in a sort of, I'm clinging on in the crises of my life and the challenges and difficulties of my life. I'm clinging on to Jesus as Lord. I'm not saying it with great confidence, but I'm hanging on. Well, if you're clinging on to Jesus as Lord, that's because God the Holy Spirit is at work in you. Because no one can say Jesus is Lord, whether they're saying it confidently or just clinging on, other than by the Holy Spirit. So if you're saying it with great confidence and an unwavering faith, that's because God's Spirit is at work. And if you're saying Jesus is Lord and you're hanging on and you're just wondering how unspiritual you really are, well, you're only saying that because the same Spirit of God works in you too. If you doubt that you are spiritual and you spend a lot of your time worrying that you're unspiritual, especially as you look around and see all the spiritual people, what Paul is saying is that if you know that Jesus is Lord, you are as spiritual as the most confident, prayerful, knowledgeable Christian that you can think of. Because no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So as you look around, we do see people who take Jesus seriously, don't we? We're seeing the Spirit of God at work in all of us in the same way. We see the same Spirit in all of us when we look around, because we see the same thing in all of us who say Jesus is Lord. However you're saying that, however you're feeling about that, if you know that Jesus is Lord, we see the same Spirit at work. So as we look around, we see the same thing. That's what one of the things that you should see when you look around a church gathering. You should see the same thing, the same work of the Spirit. Jesus is Lord. But Paul goes on to say, but you'll also see a whole load of different things as well. Verses 4 to 6. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit, the one who causes us to confess Jesus is Lord, The same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. So whilst we might look around and say, well, yeah, it all looks the same, we're the people who take Jesus seriously and say Jesus is Lord, we're going to look around and say it all looks different. Because the gifts of the Spirit. Now, as we work through these chapters, there's going to be a lot about the gifts, the spiritual gifts that God gives to his people. And they're important to Paul. That's how he started the chapter. Now, about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. He wants us to know. But in these verses, he's been introducing some important underlying principles. The first of which is that nobody says Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit. And as we've seen, everybody who doesn't say Jesus is Lord is really saying Jesus is cursed. So a very clear division between the spiritual people and the unspiritual, if you like. And it's not within the church, it's the difference between the believer and the unbeliever. Is Jesus the solution to the problem, or is he just part of the problem and bound up in it like we are? So he's introducing some important principles, and we'll be revisiting these as we work through these chapters. But here are just four, briefly, from these verses 4 to 11. The first thing is that it seems to me that Paul thinks that every useful act in the church family is a manifestation of the Spirit. Verse 7. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Now there are all kinds of things. If verses 4, he called them gifts. Verse 5, he called them kinds of service. And verse 6, he calls them kinds of working. Gifts, service, working. All sorts of things. But where something is done for the common good that builds us up, that's healthy for us as Christian people, where something is done for the common good, whether that is a mundane thing or an extraordinary thing, this is the work of God by his Spirit amongst us. Things that are done that are not for the health of everyone are not the work of the Spirit of God. That will become very clear as we go through these chapters. Every useful act, mundane or extraordinary, hidden or obvious, every useful act is the work of the Spirit in God's people. Secondly then, as has been clear, all these come, particularly as the way Steve read it, all of these come from the one and only God. The same God. Verse 4. Different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. Different kinds of service, but the same Lord. Different kinds of working, but the same God. Some have argued Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Spirit, Lord, and God, as Paul uses the language there. Pouring out all kinds of gifts. Service and working. But coming from the one and only God. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit. Verse 11. See, one of the problems in Corinth, in the church in Corinth, and we'll bump into a few problems that the church in Corinth was facing, and which Paul addresses. One of the problems is that they'd factionalized. I follow Apollos. I follow Peter. I follow Paul. And they were distinguishing amongst themselves, not just in terms of people, but in terms of the gifts that various people had. And so they were dividing amongst themselves. And Paul's saying, that's a complete nonsense. God the Holy Spirit tells you all that Jesus is Lord. And the same one Spirit gives all these different kinds of gifts to you. So the idea that the blessing of God's Spirit is that you might divide into factions is so far from understanding what God is doing in his people. That he reminds them of these things. Yeah, you've got all kinds of gifts, service, and workings. But only one God who gives them all for the common good of his one people who all confess that Jesus is Lord. Every useful act, the same and only God who gives them. Thirdly, they are given to every one of God's people. Now that's repeated a number of times. Verse 6, there are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Verse 7, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Verse 11, all of these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one. How you could go away from this passage and think that you might be unspiritual if you say Jesus is Lord and you think you don't have any... I mean, you can't. Given to every one of God's people. Each of you, all of us, every single one. And they're distributed as God decides. Verse 11. All of these are work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. So you've got to be happy with the gifts that we have. Unless you think God gets this sort of thing wrong. We must be content. And when we see the differences amongst us, there's no envy to be had there. There's just a great thankfulness to God that in his wisdom, as he's determined, he's given gifts to each one for the common good, as we're bound together in our confession that Jesus is Lord. There's no one gift that somehow clinches the presence of the Spirit. There's no expectation, I don't think, that everybody's gift is going to be obvious because it's kind of loud and up front and waves his arms around or whatever. There's no expectation of that. Paul gives us some examples. These are particular examples that he gives because he's writing to Corinth. He gives us these examples in verses 8 to 10. He says, to one, there's given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. This is his point. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers, prophecy, distinguishing spirits, speaking in tongues, and interpreting. This is not a list of all the possible gifts, of course, because there are many others that are mentioned in the New Testament. Paul's purpose is not to list them. I don't even think the New Testament lists all the good things that God does by his Spirit in his people through gifts for the common good. Anything that is for the common good is a manifestation of the Spirit in God's people. It's not a list of them all. He doesn't define them. He doesn't say, and what I particularly mean when I'm distinguishing the message of wisdom from the message of knowledge is this. He's simply saying, look, you know, in the congregation at Corinth, you've got all sorts of different things going on. They come from the same Spirit. This is the point that he's making. To them and to all Christian churches in every age, he's saying, know what you're looking at when you see lots of the same in the church family. Know what you're looking at. What's the same thing that we see in the church family? That we're the people who say Jesus is Lord. Know what you're looking at when you see that. You are seeing the work of God, the Holy Spirit. And know what you're looking at, he says, when you see lots of difference in the church family. When you see all kinds of different acts for the common good. Know what you're looking at then, because you're looking at the work of the same Spirit. Some of my mom's favourite words to me when I was growing up were, don't you dare. She used to use them quite a lot. I was a good kid, really. She said, don't you dare. It was usually offered by some motherly guidance, which was revolved around either the protection of some family property or more likely the protection of my sister. But don't you dare. Well, that's what these chapters are here for. Chapters 12 to 14. Paul is basically saying, don't you dare consider yourself more spiritual than others. If they're professing Jesus is Lord, when you look at them, don't differentiate yourself from them. Don't differentiate yourself from others in the church family, considering yourself somehow more spiritual. Don't look around and see a church full of passengers and prayerless, superficial people. Paul is saying, no, you're not more spiritual. Because they say Jesus is Lord by the Spirit, just like you do. And anything that you've ever done for the common good is by the grace, the gracious gift of the Spirit. Whether it was hidden or obvious, mundane or extraordinary, it was gifted to you as God decided, just as he has to everyone else you see as you look around. Don't you dare consider yourself more spiritual than others. This goes for the generations as well, doesn't it? You young people, you those who've been Christians for decades, all of us, Paul says, don't you dare consider yourself more spiritual than the brothers and sisters that you're sitting around. But he also says, don't you dare consider yourself less spiritual than the brothers and sisters that you're sitting around. Don't differentiate yourselves from others in the church family. Some people just know that they're not as spiritual as other people. Paul says, don't you dare say that. If you confess Jesus is Lord, you're doing that by the Holy Spirit in you. And if you've ever managed to do any kind of act of love between the brothers and sisters, That is the work of God's Spirit in you. That's why chapter 13 is coming. So what do you see when you look around this morning? You youngsters, when you look at these Christians who've been going on for decades and they just seem to know how to pray and all this kind of thing. Well, there's things for all of us to learn. But don't look at those long-standing Christians and say, oh, they're much more spiritual than I am. If you're holding to Jesus as Lord, so let's none of us consider ourselves more spiritual than others or less spiritual than others. Paul would not have it in the way that he's speaking here in these verses. Now imagine then how your prayers might be shaped this week as the faces that are around you come to mind as you're praying. Imagine how our works for one another might be transformed as we think properly about one another. Imagine how our whole life and witness as a united people who serve Christ as Lord might be transformed as we view each other as Paul would have us view each other. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And all these gifts are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one as he determines. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank you for the work of your Spirit in us that opens our eyes to him. That as Christian people, we say, he is Lord. And Father, we thank you that according to your great wisdom, you have determined all the gifts that you have given to each one of us, all given for the common good. And so, Father, as we live together as your people, may we recognize your Spirit at work in each of us according to your wisdom. And so may we work and live as the body of Christ on earth. And we pray in his name. Amen.